Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. I'm going to preach this morning on the oldest doctrine in the Bible. The oldest doctrine in the Bible out of Genesis chapter number 1. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. This is what we'll read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please your help. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to stand up and represent the God of the universe. I pray, Lord, for America. I pray, dear God, if we have drifted away, Lord, from the God upon which this nation was founded, and I pray, Lord, that we would have a national revival. I still want to pray, dear God, for one more great awakening. Lord, we need to return to the God of our forefathers. And I pray, Lord, that you would be exalted and pleased with what's said this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The oldest doctrine in the Bible. Preacher, what is the oldest doctrine in the Bible? By the way, next week I'll probably preach, unless the Lord changed my mind, on the second oldest doctrine in the Bible. Then I may contemplate the third. Oh, no, we'll probably stop there, but second oldest doctrine in the Bible. You can think about that this week. The oldest doctrine of the Bible, what is it, preacher? It's the doctrine of God. It's the doctrine of God. I glanced back just then, had a thought, and I said, well, the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, first verse started with God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I wonder what the last verse of the Bible says. And in Revelation 22, verse 21, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And let me just say this. This book starts with God and it ends with God. It starts by proclaiming God the Father and ends by proclaiming the grace of God the Son. And so this book is about God. The oldest doctrine in the Bible is the doctrine of the existence of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I want to say some things about our God today. First of all, if you were to summarize the doctrine of God as we find it here in the first chapter of Genesis, what would that entail? Let me just make some statements here, all right? Number one, God is. God is. In the beginning, God. That's how the Bible starts. Notice this, God never defends his existence. He simply declares his existence. You know, we have the story in Exodus chapter 3 where God wants Moses to go down and represent him in calling the children of Israel or demanding that Pharaoh release the children of Israel. And in Exodus chapter number 3, if you'd like to flip over there, I'll read down through there. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1, just a book away. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside, see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he turns aside to him, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send unto thee Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, I like this, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Watch this. Here it is. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, if you did turn over and if you looked at I am that I am, what do you see there that's different about everything that's around it? It's in capital letters. Let me just say this. In capital letters this morning, can I say it in capital letters? God is I am that I am. You know what? God never spends one moment of his book, of this book, trying to defend or try to prove his existence. He begins the book by simply stating that he is there. God has given us enough light to know that he exists. He's given us his word that testifies of his existence. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, the creation, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, young people, I'm going to help you with this morning. It seems a little bit crazy that in this day and age, a preacher has to stand up on a Sunday morning and defend the existence of God. But I'm going to tell you something. We are under assault. People are coming out. They're more brazen. They're more blasphemous than they've ever been. They, without apology, now look into the eyes of our young people and say to them, if you believe in God, you believe in a fairy tale. No, if you believe in God, you're wise. You see, the Bible says that they profess themselves to be wise, but they're fools. You see, folks, God agrees with himself, because over in Psalms 14:1, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. He repeats it in Psalms 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in their heart that God does not exist. Somebody says to me, prove that there's a God and I'll believe in him. Well, folks, let me explain something to you. God is not inclined to prove anything. He sees no need of it. He declares his existence. When he created you, he created in your heart the knowledge that there is something greater than you. He has given you all of creation as evidence of his handiwork. And he's given you a book that tells you everything you need to know about him. Then you know what he says? Watch this. You decide. You decide. Oh, but preacher, the intellectuals, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. One of the things that you'll always notice with people that are atheists, people that are unbelievers, is they always want to elevate themselves to an intellectual position. You see, we're smart, we're studied, we're well-read, therefore we don't believe in God. You folks are just poor, ignorant country people, and somebody handed you a Bible at some point and you read it and believed all that nonsense. And so they try to picture us as being unintelligent, and them, they're intelligent, but God says they profess themselves to be wise, but they're fools because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now you're going to have to decide. You're going to go to school and you're going to believe some biology teacher that's an atheist, or are you going to believe the God of the universe? Are you going to believe a biology book that was written by men, or the Bible that was written by Almighty God? You know what? God's not going to argue with you. He's not going to fuss with you. He's going to say, you can choose to believe me. Hey, I gave you a free will. You can choose to believe in me, or you can choose not to. He that believeth not is condemned. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Make a choice. Heaven or hell, it's eternity that's at stake. But make a choice. Young people, one of the things I want you to remember as you grow up and have in your memory banks is the preacher standing up from time to time and telling you, listen, you put your faith in this book, in the God of the universe. You get in some quiet place. Turn off all of the voices. You get out in some quiet place, preferably in the middle of his great creation. You get on your knees and you get quiet and you say, God, if you're a God and if you're real and if you're the God of heaven and the God of the Bible, then you speak to my heart and you open this book and you begin to read it. I'm going to tell you something. God will convince you just through his presence and his power of his existence. God is. That's the first thing that the that the Bible teaches us in Genesis. God is. Number two, let me share this with you. God not only is, but God is a Trinity. God is a Trinity. We see that in Genesis chapter number 1. We see that God introduces himself in verse number 1, in the beginning God. In verse number 2, we see the Spirit of God is introduced. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Can I get one of the ushers? Would you flip the air on in here and get a little bit of air moving around here? It's just a little bit warm. Thank you, Brother Abel. I think we get that one going. We'll be good down there. God tells us in the beginning, God, God the Father. Verse number 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see that existence of the Spirit of God. I like this. How about the let us of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27? And God said, let us make man in our image. Wait a minute, who's he talking to there? What does he mean, let us? Well, God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make God in our image, after our likeness. By the way, he created us also as a Trinity, a triune being. We're body, soul, and spirit, just like God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. You say, well, I see God the Father in verse 1. I see the Spirit of God in verse 2. Where's the Son of God? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who created all things by Jesus Christ? God was active in creation. God's Spirit was active in creation. The Son of God was active in creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the Son's blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the Son is, the firstborn of every creature, the Son is, for by him, the Son, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. There's some things that you need to understand about God and the God of the Bible. Number one, he is. He's not going to argue with you about it. He's going to say, believe in me. I'm going to declare it. I'm not going to debate it. Number two, he said, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I'm a triune God. I am one God, but I choose to reveal myself to the human race in three distinct personalities. You say, preacher, I'm not sure that makes sense. Is he one or is he three? Yes. But I don't understand that. I always say what I always say, right? Aren't you glad you got a God you can't comprehend? His ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts so far above our... Well, that don't make sense. Well, it's going to make sense to us. But you know what? We don't make sense to an ant. Come on now. You can sit down on the sidewalk, find an ant crawling around, and you can start talking to him, and you can try to have some type of intelligent conversation. You can start opening the newspaper and reading the events of the world, and you know what? That ant can't comprehend anything that you are thinking, because your thoughts are so far above his thoughts. Listen to me. By the way, the human race needs to hear this from time to time, be a little humbled. But that ant's intelligence is closer to human intelligence than my intelligence is to God's intelligence. Hey, take that to the bank, Mr. Professor. I'm sick and tired of Christian young people going and signing up at the state universities, and in the first semester they come back and they don't believe in God. Somebody gave them a textbook that told them that Christianity was a made-up religion, and the Bible is written by a man, and a godless professor makes fun of them because he's intellectual and they're not. And after a semester, they've been intimidated out of their faith. Good night. Tell me that your faith in God's stronger than that. All right. So we see some things about God here. God is a it is. He just announced it. God is number two. God is a Trinity. We see that God the Father existed at the time of creation. God the Spirit was involved in creation, and God the Son involved in creation. So number one, we see that God is. Number two, God is a Trinity. Tell me something else about the Lord. God is the creator. God is the creator. I like this, the oldest doctrine in the Bible. All this comes out of Genesis chapter 1. I mentioned in our Sunday school hour, you ought to know the book of Genesis. You ought to study the book of Genesis. It's the big book of beginnings. Every major doctrine of the Bible is introduced in some way in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. You ought to get Genesis and understand Genesis. And folks, we haven't got out of the first chapter yet, and we're establishing some things. The first mentions of the Bible, God, he says, I am that I am. Believe it or don't. I'm a Trinity, a triune God. You know why I'm going to reveal myself thus? Because you can't comprehend it, and I want to establish something right away. Watch this. He said, I want to establish something right away. I'm smarter than you. I'm wiser than you. I know more than you know. You can't write a book that has more wisdom than this book. You can't think a thought. You can't keep up with me. Shame on the human race. Shame on our pseudo-intellectualism. Shame on our arrogance and pride. You can spend 50, 60, 70, 80 years if God gives you, and you can read everything that man's ever written. And you know what? You'd still, watch this, you're still intelligent. Why? You know what? The ant is closer to the human than a human is to God in intellect. Just accept. Hey, why don't you just trust him? Why don't you just believe him? Why don't you put your faith in him? You know, if you read something in the Bible and he says something and you think something different, could I make a suggestion? Don't ask him to change his opinion. Why don't you change yours? Don't ask him to change what he says. Why don't you decide to change what you believe? And so we establish some things, God, right in the beginning. He says, listen, I am. Number two, I'm a triune God. He says, number three, by the way, everything you see, I created it. God is the creator. He created all the world and all that is therein. By his word. He spoke, the Bible says, and things begin to happen. Verse number three, and God said. I'm not sure we shouldn't have that underlined every place it shows up in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and God said, and God said. What did he do? He said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, wait a minute, what did he use? I mean, he had to take some raw materials? No, he just spoke. Well, that goes against the law of physics. I know, there you go, your human intellectualism, you know. You want God to come down to your thinking instead of you go up to his thinking. Guess what? God can speak, and where there's nothing, all of a sudden there's something. Okay? God created by his word. He said, let there be light, and guess what? There was light. Hey, preacher, please don't tell me you really believe that. I really believe that. I believe God stepped out on the fringe of nothingness and spoke, and light appeared. I think everything that we see came about by the word of God. God spoke and it was so. God spoke and it was created. There's no raw materials involved. He created all that you see in six actual days. In the evening and the morning was the first day. We read in chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw it, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the night day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day, evening and the morning. You know what that is? That's a day. There's no way in the world, preacher, you're going to ask me. I mean, come on. I've been to school, I've been to the university, I've read books, I've got Darwin's book on the origin of species. I mean, come on, go to any place, anywhere that claims any measure of intellectualism, and they'll swear that billions and billions of years ago. I got news for you. This everything you see, folks, just a little over 6,000 years old. Oh, preacher, come on. Oh my goodness sakes, you'd be laughed out of the universities. Well, God laughs at them. God laughs at them. What are you talking about billions and billions of years ago? What do you mean billions? How do you know? Were you there? Nothing's more fun than trying to talk to an evolutionist about where this whole thing come from. They'll go backwards and go backwards, and they'll try to make links where there are none, and they jump and all of this. Darwin's, by the way, Darwin's book on the origin of species, over 2,000 times you'll find this statement. Let us assume. If I wrote a book and I ask you to take 2,000 leaps of faith with no fact, just let us assume. Come on, give me this one. Okay, if I asked you once, but you'd say, all right, 2,000 times? Let us assume. And that's science. And that's fact. Let me tell you something. I'm going to assume something. I'm just going to assume that this book is true. I'm just going to put my faith and trust in the Bible. All right? I mean, folks, listen, they go backwards and they go backwards and they're trying to figure it out and they go backwards and finally you get to the point where, did it all start? And they finally get to something called the Big Bang Theory. And listen to them trying to explain the Big Bang Theory is one of the most amusing things you'll ever hear in your life. There was nothing, and all of a sudden, there was a bang. They're not really sure what caused the bang, because there was nothing, but there was a bang. I don't know. They say that what we believe is ridiculous. I mean, there was nothing. We just, you know, nothing, and then boom! Sorry, I woke two or three up. Sorry about that. I'll leave you alone the rest of the time. Boom! And all of a sudden, there was these little things floating around. Not sure where they came from. Now, they can't believe that God in heaven, an eternal God in heaven, can walk out the edge of nothingness and speak something into existence and it be wholly created, but they want to go back and listen, folks, here's the problem. They don't no more believe what they believe. You know what they don't want to have to believe in God. Watch this. They don't want to have to believe in a judgment day. They don't want to have to believe in a place called hell. They don't want to believe in heaven. What they want to do is be able to do whatever they want to do and think that there's no consequences and block it out. And you know what? Well, when I got born, my life started. And when I die, it'll end. And there was nothing before and there was nothing after. Yeah, there is something after. You better read your Bible. There is something after that. And so God declares himself the creator. Say, preacher, well, prove it. Well, I'm going to give you something to contemplate here. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, how do you know that God created the world? I know it by faith. But that's not scientific. Well, neither is yours. Your belief system involves more faith than mine. So we're all believing what believed by faith. You can't prove every nuance of your theory. Let us assume 2,000 times. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of leaps of faith. So I choose to put my faith in what the Bible says about the beginning of the world. You mean you just believe it because it's written? Yes. You just believe it because it says so in the Bible. Yeah. Well, I don't think that's very intellectual. Well, I don't think you're very intellectual, so we agree about something. I'm sorry, but your intellectualism never has impressed me, and the intellectuals of atheists never has impressed me because it's pseudo-intellectualism. It's fake intellectualism. Now, you're going to have to decide. You're going to believe something by faith. Okay, what is faith? Faith is choosing to believe something you didn't see. Okay, you didn't see the Big Bang, but you choose to believe it? How? By faith? Come on. Everything that we choose to believe about how this world came about, somebody's using some faith in something. All right? All right, I wasn't there when God spoke it into creation, but I believe it because he's preserved his words and he said that he did. You weren't there when the Big Bang. You want to say you believe that and eliminate God? Despite, watch this, everything that we need to know about him is manifest in us, despite the creation that's around us, despite the preserved words that he used holy men of old to write down for him. You're going to choose to believe what you believe? Well, do so. But understand that whatever you believe has consequences, some blessed and some regrettable. God is the creator. You mean actually you really believe? Six actual days. Yeah, evening and morning was the first day. Created light. Second day, created the vapor and the water above and below. Third day, sea and land and sea and plant life. Fourth day, the sun, the moon, the stars visible. The fifth day, he creates animal life. And on the sixth day, he creates the cattle and creeping things, beasts of the earth. By the way, also on the sixth day, he created man. He created man. Preacher, you don't believe in evolution? No, I believe in creationism. I believe God created mankind. By the way, let me explain something to you, and you need to see this. It's very interesting. God, everything he made up to the point when he made man, he just spoke and it was so. But watch this. The creation of man was unique and special, separate from everything else he created. What's the Bible say? Well, if you're still there in Genesis, look at chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, he didn't make the cow after in his image, after his likeness. He didn't make a monkey in his image, out of his likeness. He didn't make a horse in his image, out of his likeness. He didn't make the birds of the air or any plants in his image. He says, stop, the next creation that we make, whatever it is, it's going to be made in our image. It's going to be made in our likeness, and it's going to be called man. And I'm going to let them, he says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. By the way, he made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. Male and female created he them. Watch this. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Go real quickly to chapter 2 of Genesis, just on the same page or one page over verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Wait a minute. Stop. For 6 days he spoke and it was so. He spoke and it was created. Spoke, he was created. And by the way, when he came to creating mankind, all of a sudden this is a special creation. You ever heard somebody use this excuse? Well, preacher, I'm only human. Mom, Dad, I'm only human. Well, we're just only human. You know what? I don't know why we use that as an excuse for our failures. We ought to use that as motivation to be above and higher than what the animals are. Because to be human, to be mankind, means that you are a special creation of God. And God said, stop everything. He said, now we're going to make man, and we're going to make him in our image and our likeness. The Bible says this. Did you get that? Isn't that amazing? The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. All of a sudden, he's not speaking anymore. God's hands are involved. And God takes his hands and he takes the dust of the ground, and with the miracle that only God can do, he forms the body of a man. And then the Bible goes on to say, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Oh, I want you to get this. God's lips touched man's lips, and God's breath brought the spark of life into the first man and the first woman. And we are not just the latest addition, the latest model on the evolutionary chain. You are not, young people, you are not an animal. You have not descended from animals. We teach kids that in first grade and second grade and third grade all through high school, and then we wonder why they start acting like animals and living like animals. You're not an animal. You're created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. You're special. We tell them, you know what? By the way, we tell them, you're just a product of evolution. You're an animal. Your life began when you were born, and it'll end when you die. And then we take them down to the next class period where we've got to work on their self-esteem issues. We just created self-esteem issues. Tell somebody they're nothing, they're an accident, they're a freak of nature. They're the result of a series of thousands and tens and thousands of hundreds of thousands of mutations. You're just a bunch of biological accidents that happen to work out to what you are. By the way, go out and have a good day and treat each other right. Don't be depressed. Think about that. No. Every one of you young people. You say, well, preacher, and I like to say this every once in a while because it's good for you to hear it. You say, well, God reached out with his hands and he formed Adam and he formed Eve and he gave them the breath of life. And by the way, it goes on to say, man became a living soul. That puts you separate than any other part of the creation too. Listen, you're made in the image of God, in his likeness. You're given dominion over every other bit of creation. God formed you with his hands. He gave you the breath of life and he gave you an ever living soul. And there's no other thing on this earth created that has that resume. Only mankind. Don't you look at me and say, well, I'm only human. Yeah, that's right. You're human. Live up to it. Live up to it. Stop using it as an excuse to do less. Use it as motivation to be more. It's an honor to be a part of the human race. It's an honor to be that esteemed creation of God. And so God does all of these things and creates us, and we become the crowning glory of His creation, created in His image, created by His own hands, given breath by His own lips, given an ever-living, never-dying soul. That's why I say to young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Say, well, preacher, I started to say this. God took His hands and He created Adam and Eve with His hands. But you know what? That was different. That's not us. Oh, wait a minute. You go to Jeremiah chapter number 1, and you know what you find out? Jeremiah said that God, he was formed by God, made by God, fashioned by God, by the hands of God while He was in His mother's womb. I think God is active in the formation of every single human being. God is the one that grants life. He's the only one that can grant life, that spark of life. His hands are busy in the formation of every baby and every womb of every mother. Listen, watch this. There's a reason we put those crosses out there, folks. Did you notice them this morning? There's a reason that that we declare abortion and legalized abortion as our national shame, a national atrocity. Somebody reaches into a woman's womb and destroys a baby. They take that which is being formed by the very hands of God. I never know who's here and what your background is. I'm not saying this to try to make you feel bad or beat you up, but I am saying this for the sake of people that still have their lives ahead of them. You better listen to me. You know what? You don't have a right to murder your unborn baby. Say, well, it's my body. No, it's their body. It's their body. How come that the only people that I've ever met that's for abortion have already been born? Come on now. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. You were created. You weren't an accident. When your mama was carrying you in her tummy, God's hands was forming you and creating to you exactly what He wanted you to be. He's prepared you for something great and wonderful. He's brought you to a church so that you can hear the gospel and be introduced to the Creator of the universe and know and wonder what He has done. And we are fearfully and wonderfully, marvelously made. Nobody's here by accident. Every single one of us, God's put on this planet because there's something He wants us to accomplish, something He wants us to do. Don't miss the will of God. Don't miss the will of God. Let me finish by saying this. The oldest doctrine in the Bible is the doctrine of the existence of God. God declares God is. God declares that God is a Trinity. Then He declares that He's the Creator. And then the thing that we ought to take last of all from chapter 1 is this. Watch this. God is also good. God is good. You know what? There's not one time in Genesis chapter 1 where we see that God saw that which He had made and said, uh-oh. Whoops. Oh no. Now look if you will in verse number 12. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit after whose seed was in itself and after his kind. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, look at this. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 31, let's finish it out. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want to teach you a little bit about God this morning. And you say, preacher, I knew these things. Well, so did I, but it's sure good to be able to talk about them and say them, and it's sure good probably to be reminded about it. Folks, listen to me. God is. I don't care. Listen, the assault on the existence of God has become blasphemous. I mean, people don't even pretend anymore. I mean, they used to kind of just, you know, hedge there. Now they'll just flat out look at the camera on national news and flat out deny the existence of God and mock those who believe in him. Folks, it's not going to get any easier, but I'm going to tell you that God is. God is. We'll prove it. I got more proof that he is than he isn't. Than you do that he isn't. By the way, if you get quiet, Bible says that that may be known of him is manifest in you. That's why the Bible says the fool hath what? Said in his heart. Doesn't even say that he really believes it. You have to, watch this, you have to shout down your conscience. You have to shout down your own heart to say, there is no God. How foolish. Just get quiet. Hey, go out and look at the creation. Oh, but I've got my textbook. Okay, take your evolution textbook with you, but go out in the woods. Come on, just look around. Pick up a leaf. Take a look at a flower. Look at the mighty oak. Come on, pretty soon we'll be, before we know it, thank God, before we know it, we'll be into the spring storms. Man, when the storms come rolling in, everybody runs in Indiana to the basement, and I go to the front porch. I love to watch it, man. I love to watch. Somebody said, well, preacher, good night. You could end up getting killed out there. I said, man, God knows where I'm at. Anytime he wants me, he's going to take me. I don't care if I'm in the basement or on the front porch. I think God knows where I'm at. So I just sometimes want to see. I watch those black clouds roll in, and I watch the thunder and the lightning, and I see the wind. And come on. All right, you're away from your college professor now and your blasphemous, proud, arrogant classmates. Why don't you just stand on the porch like Grandma and Grandpa used to do of an evening and watch the clouds roll in and watch the thunder, hear the thunder roar, roll and the lightning crash. And you know what they would say? You know what would be said in your heart? God, there's a God. Look at the power of God. I mean, come on. Well, that's not very intellectual. Yeah, that's your problem. That's your problem. You want to appear to be smart instead of just being smart. I'll close with this, but y'all know this is true. Watch this. There's intellectualism, and then there's something called common sense. There's intellectualism, and then there's common sense. There's Albert Einstein, and then there's a barber shop. There's Albert Einstein, and then there's a dry cleaner. Almost every picture you ever see of him, he's got stains all up and down his tie and his shirt. The problem is, you've spent too much time reading what man says, and you won't take time to open this book and read what God said. Let me tell you something about Christianity. Christianity appeals, come on, watch this, it appeals to common sense. And it mocks pseudo-intellectualism. It mocks it. Come on now. That's why, you know, great grandma, maybe she didn't finish eighth grade, but she'd open the King James Holy Bible and sit and read it and she'd believe it. She had enough common sense to look around at the farm that she, you know, saw everything that happened every day. She saw the hand of God. And she said, how in the world could somebody say there wasn't a God? Just open the Bible. Settle it. The oldest doctrine in the Bible, the existence of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to preach your word. Thank you, dear God, that you did not start the Bible off with five or six or seven chapters trying to convince us of your existence, trying to argue and debate your existence. Thank you, dear God, that you simply declared it. Thank you for creating us with a free will. You want people who want you. You want people who choose to believe. Thank you for the faith that you've given us that we can exercise in making a decision of what we're going to believe. I pray, dear God, that you would help each and every young person to truly, truly, truly settle this matter in their heart of the existence of a holy God. Help them to believe it. Help them to know it. Help them to embrace it. I pray, Lord, that they'll understand they were created, not exactly, but in a very similar fashion to how Adam was created, how Eve was created. Hands of God form them. I pray, Lord, as we seek you through reading your word, dear God, as we seek you through prayer, that you'll reveal yourself to us more and more each and every day. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would seek you. I pray, Lord, that you would be with that one that might be here today that has lived in unbelief. They've fallen for the lies of this world. They've bought into the pseudo-intellectualism. They've been influenced by those unbelievers who would try to destroy Christian faith. I pray, Lord, that you would just allow them to take the Word of God and open it and begin in Genesis 1 and just read it. Just read it and listen for the voice of God. Lord, use this invitation. If there's anybody here that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd be saved.